We need the power in the presence of God. I'm going to preach you a message this morning about the second coming of Christ and about the rapture of the church. You hear a lot of preaching about earthquakes and you hear a lot of preaching about plagues and all these other things that are attendant to the second coming of Christ, and they're all good. But I'm taking an entirely different approach this morning for what I'm going to talk about. If you're not observant, you may not be aware of much of what I'm saying. If you are observant, it'll put some things together for you that need to be. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 6 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came, the daughters of men. And they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." These are the titans of ancient Greek mythology and other religions. They all have one thing in common when you begin to study these titans or these fallen creatures or these Nephilim, as they are mentioned here in the book of Genesis, and that they're closely associated with sex and sexual reproduction. It permeates what you read about them. It's everywhere. And so I begin to say to myself, there's got to be something going on here because of the culture where you're living today. Most famously, in so-called sacred marriages, saw Mesopotamian kings marrying deities. So when we go back, we don't have to dig far into history to find that there is a merging of human with the divine, or the deity with the human, humanity and deity. And by studying this, we come to some conclusions, and that'll open our eyes for us. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 26 and verse 13, "O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name." Then in verse number 14, a very peculiar statement, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 14. "These are the generation," in verse 14, "they are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish." What is this a reference to? It's a reference back to these giants in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. The word destroyed literally means to annihilate. God took them away in their existence. Why did he do that? He did it because they were neither human nor angel, but they're a product of the intervention of angelic beings with the daughters of men, with women. And it produced a hybrid race here on this earth. And as I said to you before, all you got to do is go back and do a little research, and you'll find there is much said in the historical record among all of these pagan religions and Greek mythology about how that these things came down from heaven and mixed with men and with people. Listen to this statement. "As a result of this war of the gods, Cronus and the vanquished Titans were banished from the upper world, being held imprisoned under guard in Tartarus, although apparently some of the Titans were allowed to remain there." What's he talking about? He's talking about this. Jude chapter number 1, verse 6. "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." There's a lot going on, and we need to be aware of it today. This is 2020. The world has changed completely from the one I was born into. But let me warn you this morning, the change has been a gradual change up until this point. Get ready. It's going to go into overdrive. Things are going to begin to change and happen around you that's going to boggle your mind and the steps that these things are taking. These ancient deities, many of them were androgynous. That meant that they were male and female. Both of them, their worshipers would wear the clothing of both male and female. Listen to this from ancient history. Sex reversal was a specific distinctive of the Dionysic cult, and by the 2nd century AD was considered to be indispensable to the religion. Men wore veils and long hair as signs of their dedication to the god, while women used the unveiling and shorn hair to indicate their devotion. Men masqueraded as women. Thus she dances before Dionysius, a deity who had been raised as a girl and was himself called male-female and shaman. The sex exchange that characterized the cults of such great goddesses as Cybele, listen to this. The Syrian goddess and Artemis of Ephesus was more grisly. Males voluntarily castrated themselves and assumed women's garments. A relief from Rome shows a high priest of Cybele. The castrated priest wear veils, necklaces, earrings, and feminine dress. He is considered to have exchanged his sexual identity and to have become a she priest. That's in history. That's what had happened. Transgenderism, moving from one sex over to the other sex. As they say, there is nothing new under the sun. When we look at the context of this, we must look today and say, wait a minute, I'm living in a culture where sex is being transferred from the gender, from male to female, where there is sexual dysphoria. In other words, people are, they're on edge about their sexual identity, and it seems to be that everything you hear today is about your sexual identity. Everything revolves in the culture in America around sex. Meditate on that. It all comes back to that. That's the hub that all the spokes in every direction rotate around in this country. It was in that context that the Apostle Paul wrote the church of Corinth. Here's what he said to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 4. Remember now, we have men castrating themselves and changing their identity from male to female, female to male, back and forth, back and forth. And they give their lives to Cybele. They give everything they have and they become a priest of Cybele. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So it was everywhere, even among the young Christians at the church at Corinth. This thing was part of their culture. But look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything? This is important if you'll follow me here, because this opens up a perspective that you need to be aware of. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? 1 Corinthians 10 20. But I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Take hold of that now. Sink into that. Take hold of that. What did I just say? What does the Word of God say? It says that if you get involved with these cults around you and their sexual perspective, that you are literally touching the demonic world. It's coming into your life. It's becoming part of who you are. You say, well, I don't worship the devil. You don't have to worship the devil. Let me tell you something. It's demonism. It is evil spirits. And they are using transgenderism as a way to reach into the hearts of men and women. Paul said the idol is nothing. And it is nothing. A piece of wood or something poured or metal or something of that nature. In itself, it is nothing. But demons attach themselves to things. Like like a Ouija board, for example. The Ouija board itself, they approach that thinking, I'm going to communicate with the spirit world. Well, you do communicate with the spirit world. A demon takes control of that and begins to communicate with you. And once you communicate with the spirit world without the Holy Ghost, you're hooked for the rest of your life. Amen. Make no mistake about it. It reaches into the deadness of your soul. If you have never been born of the Spirit of the living God, when a spirit comes to you, it will overwhelm you. And this is how people are literally become given unto these spirit beings. So the apostle warns us. He warns us to leave them alone. He told the church at Corinth that they are fellowshipping with devils. Did you know that the word translated fellowship in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 is koinonia? It is the same word that is found in 1 John when it says that our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. Now you getting a hold of what I'm saying? I say that in 1 John chapter number 1, we walk with the Father. We talk with the Father. We love the Father. We fellowship with the Father. We have our life with the Father through the Son. We love the Son. The Son takes us to the Father. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my dear friend, the apostle used the same word in reference to fellowshipping with devils. Kind of shaky, isn't it? There are those who think that everything is scientific, however they want to define it. It's scientific. They worship science today. They have no idea that science, I have no problem with. I'm going to be dealing with some of it. But remember, there's another element, and that is the spirit world. The spirit world. As this brother said a moment ago, you have a soul, and that soul shall live from here on, either in the presence of God or in hell itself. So the scripture teaches that we are a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. We have been made in the image of God. Listen carefully. We are not animals. We are men. We're women. We walk before God, and God walks and talks with us. The breath that you breathe was breathed into your nostrils by Almighty God. Nowhere in that Bible does it say God breathed into the nostrils of a cow or a dog or a fish or anything else. But a human being is different. Therefore, that image of God is something that Satan is going after. Get a hold of it, what I'm about to tell you. Now, I've categorized this in three major things. I've categorized it as sex change, transgender. Then I've categorized another, designer babies. And then a third, parentless births. And we're going to look at them. Designer babies, parentless birth, and sex change, transgenderism. There's an awful lot to be said about this. I've spent all week, I've spent how many hours preparing for this. There's a lot of material out there that say upward of 80% of the people who have a sex change operation regret it later on. They regret what they've done. They might have been caught up in the spirit, or they may have been influenced by someone, but they realize later on in their life that they have made a tragic mistake. Why is that? Because God made man in His image. And when you start changing from one sex to the other, you're going against the order of God, what He made us to be. Look at the first one. Sex change. Transgenderism. Do you see that anywhere? Is that part of our culture today? Has it not just popped up in the last few years? Let me tell you something. The door that opened that was homosexuality. And what homosexuality opened for us was transgenderism. Now let me say this morning. Transgenderism is a gateway. Remember this. It's a gateway. What do you mean by that, preacher? Once you've accepted transgenderism, you're going to open the gate for all that comes with it. That's how it works. First they give you a little bit, then they follow with more, and then the gate opens wide. And the gate is opening wide in this country. And CRISPR-Cas9 is what they use for for designer babies. A lot of folks never heard of it before. What they're doing is editing the genetic code, the DNA of all human beings. You have a DNA. That DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, is what determines who you are, what you become as you develop. And I'm going to tell you something right now. By just a simple cursory study of DNA, it establishes me that there's one God. He's the creator of everything. You're a fool if you think that DNA evolved into what we know it to be today. And I'll be nice about that. You're a fool. You think you've got an IQ. You think you're smart. Look, friend, there is no way that DNA could have evolved. There is a mind behind it. There is intelligence there that is beyond human capability. God created man in his own image. And then there are the parentless birth. Now this is something that opens up the future. The nightmare that awaits us. I'm about finished. I won't be around too much longer, but you young people, God bless your soul. If the Lord Jesus doesn't come back soon, you are in for something far worse than the island of Dr. Moreau ever thought of. You are in for a world that you can't imagine. And that world is right at your doorstep. A plutopotent stem cell can be used to produce a gamete. I know these are big words, but I'll explain it in a moment. A gamete is a male or female sperm or egg. So what I just told you is that you can take a cell and you can produce sperm or eggs from it. Then in a petri dish you can fertilize that egg. And then in a petri dish, that egg becomes a zygote once it's fertilized. And then it can be placed in an artificial womb. That's what they're working on. And it becomes an embryo. And that embryo develops into a little boy or a little girl, into a body. Now you say, well, wait a minute, preacher, that's science fiction. No, that's not science fiction. What I just told you is what they're working on right now. It blows the mind to think of what they're getting into. But what are they doing this for, preacher? They do this because they may have their own motives. But there is one who has a motive higher than man's motive. Who is that, preacher? That's the devil. He hated you when you showed up in the Garden of Eden. He has hated you ever since you've been in this world. He will do everything he can to destroy the image of God in man. And the day will come, if God does not come back, if the Lord Jesus doesn't split the eastern sky, the day will come when Satan looks up and says, I have destroyed your image in man. He is mine now. It will be the conquest, the final conquest of Satan over man. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. Are you talking about Satan being able to take men and turn them into automatons or into slaves or into robots or what? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Because what they're doing, dear friend, is that they are into the actual process of bringing human beings into this world. Say, for example, that you get a zygote and an embryo, and then 9 months later from an artificial womb, a child is born. The child neither has a father or a mother. It has no idea where it came from. It came from an artificial womb. And now, how does it get its identity? It gets its identity from the state. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment and think hard about what I'm about to say. Does that child have a soul? Is that really a human being? Or is that some kind of a laboratory production of the manipulation of genes to produce something that looks like a human being? Once the soul is gone, then you no longer have a human being, and you are no longer in the image of God.
The fact that you have a soul puts you in a category that makes you so different from any other creature on this earth, because you are in the image of God. Now, there's some wild scenarios, and for the sake of time, I can't get into all of that. My goodness, it'll blow your mind of some of the stuff that's out there. But I want to tell you something. I have a professor here at Stanford University. His name is Henry T. Greeley. September the 16th, 2016, he wrote this article. And he has authored a recently published article, and here's what it is. The End of Sex and the Future of Human Reproduction. Now let me tell you, this is coming from a professor of genetics at Stanford University, Henry T. Greeley. What are you saying? Highly educated man, an expert in his field. One of the things that he says is this: we would be able to make children of children too young to have useful gametes. You remember the gamete? Remember the gamete? The sperm or the egg? Too young to have useful gametes, or of people who have died but left behind carefully preserved tissue samples. Yeah. My. What does that mean, preacher? That means that if you take a tissue sample of a living human being, if they die through the process of CRISPR-Cas9 and all of this gene editing, you can produce another one that looks exactly like it. Now, who wouldn't be tempted, if you lost a loved one, to have one created in the laboratory and bring your loved one back? And this comes into transhumanism. For transhumanism, an entirely different thing. For the sake of time, we won't get into all that. But transhumanism has to do with maintaining the person, the personality, the inward part of that person in whatever vehicle they can. And a body like this would be an awful good way to preserve them into the future. What have we got? We've got monsters.
Amen.
Well, a preacher, they won't do that. You kidding? Well, they'll get together and they'll pass a law and where they'll outlaw. No, folks, no. You don't trust men, and I know you don't trust men. There's already a scientist over there in China that says that he has already begun to clone human beings, and he has begun to design human beings, and he's laying down the groundwork for the very thing that I'm talking about this morning. I believe the Lord Jesus is coming soon. Here's why I believe it. I believe that if he doesn't come soon, that what I'm talking about this morning will create on this earth the purest hell that it has ever known. Because believe me, it will get out of hand, and it'll get out of hand quickly. Can you imagine 100 years from now? 100 years, we'll all be gone. There might be one or two of us left in just 100 years. Can you imagine this kind of technology? How far in advance it'll be 100 years from now? And with all of us gone, could it be possible that they bring on a whole new generation? Would it be possible for them to fill this earth with people that have been programmed like this, have been created in labs? You no longer need male and female. Is that possible? Well, sure, it's possible. You think God's going to let that happen? That's why I believe in the second coming of Christ.
Amen.
This is why I see this stuff. I see it developing, and I have to say to myself, there's got to be a reason for this. Eventually people, now listen to this. Eventually people might even be able to build an entire human genome from scratch. DNA, letter by letter. One prominent geneticist recently and controversially proposed a project to do just that. Here's what that means. You create your own human being. That's mind-boggling. Well, preacher, that's 1,000 years. No, it's not. No, it's not. Young people, in your lifetime, you'll see it happen. I doubt if it'll happen in mine, but in your lifetime you'll see it happen. How far? Well, here's the point. How far will God let them go before he sends his son and says it's time? And he catches us up to meet him in the clouds. How far? How far? Boy, how far? I'll close with this. The Bible says it was in the days of Lot, so shall be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Both Lot and Noah are associated with sexual issues. Exactly. Lot with homosexuality. Noah with these angels coming down from heaven. The Lord Jesus emphasized it twice, as it was in Lot and as it was in Noah. There's something going to happen over there when the Antichrist shows up. He's going to raise up an image to the beast. And the whole world's going to worship that image. They're going to fall before it, and they're going to worship it. Let me tell you what you worship. You worship whatever has energized your spirit. When I come in here on Sunday and they sing about the Lord Jesus Christ, I say, amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. But this world, is this country right here, these 330 million people that make up America, huge numbers of them, millions of them, are out there completely engrossed in another spirit.
Amen.
In another world. And man would give anything if he could live forever without the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what this offers them. Are you ready for him to come back? When I studied this, I got a hold of that. I thought, thank you, Lord, because that makes more sense than any earthquake I've heard about, any pestilence, or any of the rest of the signs. And I'm all for all of them, but this makes more sense than any of it. He's coming. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your word. Bless it to the hearing of the people. Thank you, Father. They've been attentive. Thank you for that, Lord. You've given me freedom. Thank you for that, Father. And I finally got this off of my chest. Now I'm done with it. And I thank you for the peace that I know will come when I'm finished. I've done what you call me to do. I've given it out. Now, Father, it's no longer mine. It's theirs. And it's up to them as to what they'll do with this. I hope, if nothing else, in just some small way, I've gotten enough of attention this morning for them to begin to look around and consider where they are and consider the culture that they're part of and watch this thing and watch it as it develops and see how excited these unsaved people get about perversion and get about transgenderism. They get excited about it. I pray they'd watch them. In Jesus' name, amen.